Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Congratulations again, Lizette, for qualifying at this year's Australian Open. But before we talk about how you qualified at the Women's Single AO Tournament this year, let's first talk about how you started and fell in love with the sport. So can you please tell us, when did you start playing tennis and who influenced you?
Yeah, so I started at the age of 4.5, so a long time ago. And I was influenced by my parents. They really loved tennis, and yeah, as soon as they could put a racket in my hand, they did, and I've kind of loved it ever since.
Right. So who first gave you your first tennis racket?
My dad.
Your dad. And since then, you were going to courts and have been playing tennis ever since?
Yeah, pretty much. I was born in Townsville, and there was a few like kind of local tennis courts that I'd go to with my dad. And then when I was about 8 or 9, he put me into our local club there. I had a really good childhood coach, Wayne Hanna, who sadly passed away last year. But yeah, he was a really big influence on my tennis. Yeah.
So besides your dad and obviously your first coach, how about your mom? Was she very supportive of you playing tennis as well?
Yeah, she was super supportive. She loves tennis, and she used to play like midweek ladies every week. So yeah, she was very keen on me playing tennis.
Right. So you first started playing tennis when you were in Townsville, but I do understand that you moved to Brisbane. So how did it continue, your love of the sport?
Yeah, so at 13, I kind of had to decide if I wanted to, you know, go professionally or just kind of play for fun. And I decided that if I was going to pursue tennis, that I'd have to move to Brisbane to the National Academy. And so my parents, you know, sacrificed a lot for me, and they said, okay, we're going to move with you. And yeah, so pretty much I could train full time there. I had, you know, a fitness coach, physio, and then also a tennis coach. So yeah, it was pretty much full time from 13.
Mm-hmm. And in that National Academy, how did you get in? Was there any qualifications that you have to satisfy before you can enroll, or how is it like?
Yeah, so I can't remember too much, but at the time I remember I was on like a scholarship, and you had to be like, I think it was like maybe top 5 in your age group, a certain ranking in Queensland. I can't remember too much, but I just remember you had to be in kind of like the kind of top section.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you've started honing your skills, no? Because that's already an academy. So I wanted to know, so I'm pretty sure that you were like watching tennis players play in Grand Slams before. So who were your tennis idols growing up?
Yeah, growing up, I loved watching Serena Williams and Victoria Azarenka. I think they were my two favorite players, just because, you know, Serena is Serena. She's so fierce.
Yeah.
And she's like a boss woman on the court, and I just love that. And obviously her game is amazing. And same with Azarenka. I just thought she was, you know, she had this kind of swag about her, which I really liked.
Right.
And she was very gritty and had a really good attitude and was always kind of a fighter. And that's stuff that I like to do in my game as well, be kind of like never give up and be a fighter. So yeah,
right.
My two idols growing up.
Yeah. So how about with the up and coming stars? Is there anyone that you're looking up to or you wanted to play with maybe in the future? Maybe the likes of Naomi Osaka?
Yeah, I mean, I want to play Serena so badly before she retires, because she's getting there. And I really wanted to play Ana Ivanović. She's from Serbia, but she retired not too long ago. But yeah, those would probably be my main person that I wanted to play.
Okay. So in the earlier days of your tennis career, what tournaments did you play in, and when did you turn professional?
Yeah, so growing up, there was a lot of like local tournaments. I played like a lot of the junior circuit, and then my first trip overseas was at the age of 12, and we played like a lot of these kind of junior European tournaments. And then there's a separate tour for the juniors, which is the ITF kind of tour. And so I played a lot of that. I played a lot of the junior slams, went and did a lot of traveling, which was really fun. And then kind of at the age of like 16, 17, that's when I kind of stopped the whole junior thing. So at the age of 18 and under, that's when it stops. And then that's when you have to play at the pro level. And yeah, kind of at 16, 17 mark, that's when I made the decision that I was just going to play like a full pro schedule.
Right. So you've played many international tournaments already at such a young age.
Yeah, I was really fortunate enough that I was, able to travel and see the world at such a young age, which has been super helpful because I feel like I've gained lots of experience and done a lot of things that maybe people at my age hadn't yet, like, you know, doing my washing in a laundromat in Paris at 12 and, like, you know, learning all these little phrases in different languages and taking the train. And I definitely think traveling when I was young helped a lot because I feel like it helped me mature in a way.
Right. So when you are traveling to play overseas, who do you normally come with? Is it your parents, your coach?
It's usually a coach from Tennis Australia that would be sent over and kind of a group of kids that were kind of similar age and similar ranking. It was always nice to travel in a group in the junior circuit.
Right. I don't know if you keep track of the number of games that you played, but do you know how many games you've already played?
No idea.
So is it
safe? No, but it'd definitely be a lot.
200, a lot. Yeah. More than 200 matches.
Yeah, definitely more.
So out of all those matches that you've played in, what are the top three most memorable matches that you've done?
Top three.
Yes.
I would say, even though I lost this match, my very first Australian Open, main draw at the pro level, because I had never played in the qualifying before, and it was a really big deal for me, and it was kind of the first time all my family was there, and it's kind of always been a dream of mine to play at the Oz Open. So I'd say my very first Oz Open was very memorable. The second match would probably be earlier this year in Hobart. I had a really good first run win there, and it was really an amazing atmosphere with, like, you know, the home crowd, and also my parents came down, and it was just really nice. I love playing in Hobart, so that was another memorable match. And the third one, I'm trying to think. Oh, there's just so many.
So many, right?
Probably not last year, the year before. It was in a final of an 80,000 in Granby, Canada.
Yep.
And, yeah, I'd won that, and that was my first win of a challenger at the 80K level. And, yeah, that was very, very memorable.
Very memorable for you. So now let's talk about, so I'm personally very excited to know that there's a Filipino, like a Filipino-Australian playing at the Australian Open this year. And I'm pretty confident that, you know, if more of the Filipinos know about that you're playing, they're going to root for you. But before we talk about that, I wanted to know, so how did you qualify in this year's Australian Open?
Yeah, so with everything a bit different this year with COVID and everything, qualifying is usually in Australia at Oz Open, but because they couldn't let a certain amount of people into the country, the qualifying was set for the women in Dubai. But I was grateful enough to receive a main draw wildcard, which means I get straight into the main draw and don't have to qualify. So, yeah, I just kind of had a longer preseason and had more time to prepare, which is awesome, and I didn't have to go to Dubai, thank goodness.
Well, it's going to be it's actually winter season there at the moment, so it's not going to be as hot as here in Australia. You were included in the draw this year because of your past performance. Was it the performance last year?
Yeah, I think just because there wasn't as many tournaments on as usual last year, they just kind of went on past performance and ranking, and kind of, your age and where you're at. And if they, you know, kind of see potential in you to win a couple rounds at AO.
Yeah, that's really excellent. So you've mentioned one of your most memorable matches was when you played at the Australian Open. So I know that this is not the first time that you played this Grand Slam. So how many times have you played at the US Open?
This year would be my fourth time.
Yeah. So which year did you start playing at the AO?
My first year was in 2017. Mm-hmm. I played main draw in 2017 and 2018, and then I played qualifying 2019, and then last year I played main draw. So three main draws and one qualifying.
Yeah, and now since, you know, I would say that you're already experienced playing at this Grand Slam. So how does it, do you still get the jitters? Do you still get butterflies in the stomach, like playing this year, knowing that it's already your fourth time? Like, how does it feel playing at the arena, you know?
Yeah, I think anytime I get to play a Grand Slam, especially a home slam, Australian Open, I get just as nervous, even more nervous. It's so exciting. I love playing at home, having my family in the stands, and having the kind of crowd on your side, which is awesome. It makes a huge difference. And I don't think I ever lose that excitement, which is awesome. I just get so excited every match, especially when at home. I think I play really well here, and, you know, considering everything that's going on, I'm so grateful that Tennis Australia has put on the Oz Open with all, like, you know, the difficult circumstances, so that I'm really going to maximize on my opportunity.
Right. Like what I said, I'm pretty sure that if Filipinos, like more Filipinos know about you and know that there's an Australian who has Filipino roots playing at the Australian Open this year, everyone's going to be supporting you and rallying behind you. I know that you've already visited the Philippines before and you've also played a match over there. So can you please tell me more about that experience?
Yeah. So when I was in the juniors, when I was about maybe 13 or 14, I played a tournament in Manila. But unfortunately, I really didn't get to do much because we only saw the courts and the hotel, and we didn't really get time to go out. And then we had to, like, go to the next tournament after that. So I didn't even have time to, you know, go visit the beautiful island and, you know, see a lot of my other family that's still there, which is really unfortunate because that would have been lovely because I've never met them. But that's the only time I've been able to get to the Philippines. I know we were always trying to organize a family holiday, but it was really hard with everyone's schedules. But I'd love to go to Boracay and Cebu and El Nido, like all those really, really pretty places. But hopefully in the next coming years, I'll be able to go visit and also visit my family there.
Right. Is there a particular food that you want to try or an activity that you want to do in the Philippines? I know that you wanted to go to the islands, right? So is there a specific food that you want to try?
Well, my parents are like, my mom and my dad are really good cooks. And so I've pretty much tried every single Filipino dish. I just recently started cooking pancit.
Nice.
And I'm really proud of myself because it actually tastes really good and I thought it was going to taste really bad. But yeah, it's so young. I mean, I'd love to taste sinigang over there because I know a lot of my family members make sinigang a little bit different. I like it really sour and with pork. So yeah, I'd love to try like all the dishes that, you know, my family usually makes and like if there's any difference with like the street food in the Philippines and stuff like that. But I definitely do not want to try is it called balut?
The balut, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's not me. I will not be trying that.
Oh, Lizette, it's a must try. So if you go back to the Philippines, you really need to try it because I think it's part of the Filipino experience, especially for those like tourists and Filipinos who were born and raised overseas. That is something that it is like we call it to initiate. Initiation rites of our Filipinos living overseas. So I suggest that you try it. But it's good to know that you've started trying cooking pancit. There are heaps of variety of that pancit. So I think when you go to the Philippines, you're going to learn more from your relatives. So talking about your family back in the Philippines, do they know that you play professional tennis here?
Yes, I think my aunties and uncles know that I play, but I don't know if they've seen me play, whether that's like on TV or anything, but I think, yeah, they know that I play.
Right. And we've already touched on the role of your dad and mom in your career, but how about your siblings? Are they also sporty like you? Do they play sports? Do they watch your games?
Yeah, my siblings are super supportive. They love tennis and they both play just like socially, but they're both really sporty. They try to come down for Oz Open. Unfortunately, they both can't make it to this Oz Open, but hopefully next year they can come down.
Right. So this year it's only going to be your dad, mom, and your coach. Is that right?
Just my mom and my mom's friend. My dad actually passed away end of last year.
Yep, sorry
but
to hear that.
I definitely think, yeah, he'll still be with me even if I can't see him.
I'm pretty sure about that. I'm pretty sure that he's watching over you, and this year hopefully it's gonna be a better one than the previous year. So now I know that you will be an inspiration to many, right? So what is your dream? What is Lizette's dream in terms of your career? Where do you want to be in maybe, 3-5 years time?
I'd definitely like to cement myself inside the top 50. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be playing, you know, main draw of slams and even get close to winning one, hopefully.
Right.
But I love setting my goals high. And even if I don't achieve them, you know, at least I set them and worked really hard towards them. But yeah, I'd love to be able to, you know, be past this qualifying stage and kind of be in that top 50. And then once I've hit that, you know, continue my way up. I'd love to be top 20, top 10, and hopefully number one in the world one day. But that's
obviously very
ambitious.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure with the hard work and persistence and with the dedication, I'm pretty sure that's everything is possible, right? So how are you preparing for the Australian Open this year? I know that you've been in trainings day in and day out. How is it like? How's your preparation?
Yeah, we came to Melbourne a little bit earlier, which is different to many of the other years. Usually we're playing, you know, lead up tournaments back where I live in Brisbane and in Hobart or Adelaide. So it's been really nice being able to train in Melbourne. We're not actually at the Oz Open training because they have the bubble for the international players. But in a couple of days that will open up and we'll be playing our first lead up tournament. But so far I'm really happy with my preparation. I think I've slowly been building every day and I'm feeling good and I'm feeling ready and super excited because it's been so long since, you know, a proper match. And I just feel like I've been training. So I'm so ready to play. Yeah.
Yep, and we're ready to watch you. We're very ready to watch you. So can you please tell us when will be your first match, where it will be played, and who are you playing against with, if you already know?
Yeah, so there's a lead-up tournament before Oz Open, and that starts this Sunday on the 31st of January.
Yeah.
And that goes for a week. The draw is usually done, you know, 2 days before. And usually I find out the time the day before because that's how they do the scheduling. So a week after Oz Open starts, which is on the Monday, the 8th of February.
Right.
And it's a split start, so I could play either the 8th or 9th. And I'm not sure what time yet or who I play because none of that has been done yet, but we'll find out closer towards. If any Filipinos are in Melbourne, come and watch and come support me because I love it.
I, for one, will be there. So I'll gonna really try my best to see you watch live. Last question for you, no? So I want to ask for a message to young Filipinos here in Australia and in the Philippines who, like you, love tennis and aspire to be a professional player one day and play in big arenas like in the Melbourne Park. So do you have any message for them?
Yeah, my message would be just, you know, enjoy it and work really hard and make sure, you know, if you really set your mind to something that you believe that you're capable. And I think belief goes a long way. So if you believe you can do it, then don't let anyone tell you differently.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Lizette, for your time. And we really hope the best for you at this year's Australian Open. And know and trust that all the Filipinos in Australia, and the Filipinos back in the Philippines as well are rallying behind you.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.